Okay, we can start now. John's here. Morning, John. While you're standing up in here, why don't you pray for us?
Okay. Our Father God, we thank you this morning for good weather and a good Savior. We just thank you that you have given us such blessings. Thank you for our church to come to. Pray that you would bless this morning, meet each heart's need. Bless Pastor Joe as he teaches the Sunday school and brings a message this morning. Thank you for each one that's here. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Thanks, John. So, you know the scoop that Jim called me last night at 6 o'clock and asked me if I would do Sunday school, and you obviously, you know, always have something that you can say that you have said, you know, probably numerous times in the past. And I thought maybe we'd do something a little bit different this morning. And by different, I mean back whenever we were pastoring in Connecticut, every once in a while we would have a thing called a family chat. And this family chat, we would move the pulpit out of the way, and I would sit down in the chair. I don't know why I sit down in the chair. It probably didn't make any difference whether I was sitting in the chair or not, but it seems like a little more relaxed kind of atmosphere. And we would just talk about what was going on with the church and how things were going and what the plans were for the future and all that, all those kinds of things. So I thought this morning that we would have a little family chat about things. So I'd like to start out by asking a question, and the question is this: how have things changed at Wheatland Baptist Church since we have been here? I'm not asking for whether you like it or whether you don't like it. I'm asking you what's different now than whenever before Pastor Post retired. Well, John, Jim, you can't put things over on him, can you? Man, he's just right there. Okay?
The order of service that confuses the others. Oh, offensive time.
I didn't hear that. Could you repeat that?
What she said? She said the order of service confuses the ushers, since we changed some of the order of service around a little bit, when the offering is going to be and that kind of thing. Okay.
Can you repeat what they say?
Yep, Georgia said the outline on the back of the bulletin for taking notes. Anything else you can think of? Yes, my dear.
I wasn't even here, but we have a directory that Roberta likes. And I was trying to figure out why Roberta could pray for, like, go down here, and now I realize she has a printed off.
Yep, she has a printed off version of it. If you're nice to Terry, he might buy you one of those too, honey. Okay, anything else you can think of? Okay. Pardon?
We have a new phone.
Okay, the new phone directory. Anything else you can think of different? Now, go ahead, Roberta. I'm sorry.
On Wednesdays and Sunday evenings, you always start us out with spring praises. We did that song, but not that specific.
Okay. Yep. Okay, now the reason that things haven't changed radically is because Terry and I we went to different schools together. Think about that for a second. We went to different schools together, which means that we came from the, you know, sort of the same school, same background. It's interesting the similarities between what went on with the posts and starting this church, and what went on with us starting a church in Connecticut. It's pretty interesting. And so, you know, sort of come from the, you know, sort of the same same looking at things. But in Connecticut, we did things a little bit differently than you folks do here in Kansas. I made a list of things. I always had the deacons wear neckties. If you're going to be a deacon, look sharp so you can be sharp. I had, we used to have our youth program on Friday nights. We would have from 6:30 to 8:30 every Friday night. We would have a we'd have Awana clubs a couple different times. We're up to like 90 kids and whole mess of workers, and it was really a fun night. whenever we were nominating people for different offices, we had a nominating committee that would do that. Whenever we were putting the budget together, we had a finance committee that would put that together. And always the deacons would, you know, look it over and make sure that it was right. we when you became a member of our church, you had to meet with the pastor and the deacons, and you were not voted in by the church per se, which I think is what happens here, right? You have a vote. Everybody says that we never did anything anything like that. Okay, so the point I'm trying to make is that we did things differently, but they were still very similar to you know, to what you do here. And so the point I'm trying to make is that whenever somebody comes, whenever the new pastor comes, that things are going to be different at Wheatland Baptist Church than they were when Pastor Terry was here, or I'm here, or whatever the, you know, whatever the situation are, is things are going to be different. And just because things are different, it doesn't necessarily mean they're good or they're bad. They are just different, okay? So what difference does it make whether you have youth meetings on Wednesday night or Friday nights? What difference does it make whether you whether the deacons wear neckties or not? Well, they look a lot sharper, obviously, with neckties on than they did without neckties. But, you know, what's the, you know, what's the big deal? And whenever you think about somebody coming to be the next pastor at the church, one of the things that you want to recognize is that as they're going to be, Lord willing, a different generation than many of us that are here, and a new generation looks at things a little differently than the before or the after generation. And so there's, you know, some things that we need to think about, those kinds of things, and just prepare ourselves a little bit. So what I'd like to do this morning is we put together a I think there's 50 some questions, 54, 59, put together 59 questions that we're going to send to somebody who is interested in being the pastor of Wheatland Church. Some of them are very mundane, kind of things that, you know, it's, are you married? How many kids do you have? You know, those kind of things that, you know, whatever. But then we have some other questions that I would like to throw out to you guys to see what your response is, to help us whenever we're talking to somebody about being a pastor, what's about being the pastor here, what's really important. So the one I want to start out with is this one, is briefly describe the role of the pastor as you see it. Briefly describe the role of the pastor as you see it. Okay, so that would be...
not necessarily be responsible for all functions of the church. That's responsibility of the ministry. His primary duty is to feed the body, make sure they're on the right road, spiritually, soundly, in God's way.
Okay, good answer. What else would you say?
Wear colorful ties. I'm sure your deacon might wear a tie. Colorful. The deacon tend to wear colorful ties.
Colorful ties, okay. No, I didn't pick them out for him. I let my wife pick them out. She likes more plain ties than I do. Okay, feed the flock. What else?
Counselor.
Counselor, okay.
Be approachable.
Well, I'll tell you, I'm going to sign up for this job if that's all you have to do. Go ahead, John.
I think since he's an under-shepherd, it should be a shepherding, and I think that's more than feeding. I think it's, I don't know how to put it into words, but it's taking care of the people. And there are several ways that can be done or needs to be done. Part of it is what you just said, be approachable so that the people don't rebel against him, you know.
Okay. Okay, good answer. What else?
Good listener.
Okay. Okay, that's a good one. A strong walk with the Lord. And Roberta said a good listener.
Being able to confront problems in the church. Some pastors fail to deal with it, and it does nothing but, I guess sin in the church needs to be dealt with.
Okay.
And not be afraid to, well, anyway, just be willing to face confrontation of sin.
Okay. Okay, good one. Somebody, I heard somebody mumbling. Go ahead.
Well, I guess the negative of that would be don't get in the middle of a feud between two families or two individuals. Because when you do that, I learned that from experience, you become part of the feud then. All of a sudden there's not two of you, there's three of you. And nothing good comes out of it.
Right. I was traveling with a policeman one time, and he said, the thing I hate more than anything else are domestic disputes. He said, because you go in there and you're looking at the one who seems to be the aggressor, and he said it's the one who, you know, the spouse turns around and hits you with something while you're doing that. And he spoke from experience. And so good thought there. Any other ones? I have a list here. One of the questions that we have on the list here is ministry emphasis. Okay, so it goes from A to P of ministry emphasis. I want you to just listen down through here and see which ones you think would be the ones that would be an emphasis on ministry, which sort of ties along with what we're talking about. Preaching, pastoral care, visitation, administration and planning, missionary promotion, community service, youth and children's ministries, social action, public worship, evangelism, Christian education, stewardship development, training leaders, small group discipleship, one-on-one discipleship, praying and managing or supervising. What would you think of that list would be the important ones? Go ahead, Dennis. counselor. It doesn't look like it's on the list there, but that was already mentioned. We probably should put that on there. Okay? Go ahead, Beverly. Doing something in the community, whatever that form that may take, you know. So say say that they have a group of people together to clean up the park, and you would go and help them clean up the park, or something like that, or you know, any kind of you know, not quote church per se kind of thing, but just, you know, something to do with the community and helping the community. Okay, what would you say? Let me get down through the list again. Preaching, study and sermon prep, pastoral care visitation, administration, missionary promotion, community service, youth and children's ministry, social action, public worship, evangelism, Christian ed, stewardship development, training leaders, small group discipleship, one-on-one discipleship, praying, managing, and supervising. What would you think are the important ones out of that list? Would you think that, you know, this is what you, you know, if you don't do anything else, make sure you do this? And we've already said preaching and counseling, but what I wanted to expand that list a little bit for you to think about. Okay. Preaching, pastoral care, administration.
Yeah.
Okay. Any other thoughts on that?
Evangelism.
Okay. That's a little bit more down on the list. The other thing I think I went through this last night, and I circled the ones that I thought were important. And in that training of leaders, I think is important. Some one-on-one discipleship, but it's obvious that you can't do all of the stuff that's on the list. Why? You just don't have the time and the energy and the resources. So you sort of have to pick the things out. And you will notice if you're around preachers for a period of time that they sort of have their, you know, their sort of thing they like to do, their niche kind of thing. You know, some are, great on training leadership. Other people, other pastors might be, you know, youth ministry or child ministries, or somebody else maybe counseling is their thing, and everybody has their, you know, their sort of their little glitch that they like to do. Other pastors are really strong in missions and those kinds of things, and as we're working through these kind of things, we want to try to figure that out. The person that we're talking to, the person that we're asking to come and candidate, we want to figure out, what kind of things that they're strong in. Anything else we want to talk about in regard to that? I got some more questions to ask you, and they get tougher as they go along. Okay. One of the questions we're going to ask is, have you ever been asked to resign from a church? I mean, we're going to ask that question, but what if they say, I was asked to resign from, you know, such and such Baptist church. Would we be interested in somebody who was asked to resign from another church?
Find out why.
Okay, find out why.
You might have resigned for a good reason.
Okay.
For a biblical reason.
Okay. Might have resigned for a good biblical reason, okay. So if somebody has asked to resign from the church, that's not necessarily a strike against them.
Necessarily. I mean, there's two sides to both stories.
Yep, absolutely.
So you need to ask the church to ask to resign, you know, kind of get a full picture of it. Does it have to be yes to that question?
So we would need to talk to the church that asked him to resign. see what the other side of the story is. Okay?
Part of the good question is, why did you ask him to leave?
Yeah, why did you ask the church?
Why did the church respond and ask him to leave?
Right.
If you say resign, that's kind of like a permanent stand on his board.
You say it is? It is or it is not? What did you say?
It kind of is. If you just ask them why, if you ask them to leave, they respond to it.
Okay. Let's see what else. One of the questions we're going to ask is, if you're married, how would you characterize your marriage? Very strong, strong, average, and poor. Very strong, strong, average, and poor.
There ought to be a follow-up question to that as to how honest are you?
What would she say?
Yeah.
What would she say?
Okay, what would you accept? Would you accept very strong? Probably so, right? Would you accept strong? Would you accept average? Would you accept poor? I think we'd all say we don't want poor for sure, right? So we'd accept strong and very strong.
You need to ask the wife.
Pardon?
You need to ask the wife.
Ask the wife?
Yeah. But how does she feel? How's she thinking?
Now, you realize that that question is loaded, right? Because, I mean, unless a person's marriage is, really headed downhill, most people would say, "Oh, yeah, we have a good marriage, we have a strong marriage," you know, that kind of thing. And so, you know, what may be strong for you might be very strong for somebody else, and you know, those kind of things. So you have to do some quizzing on that. Okay. Any other thoughts about that one? Well, we are assuming that the person is going to be honest with us. That would be the bottom line. Okay. Next one. Still going on with marriage. If married, to what extent is your spouse involved in your ministry? To what extent is your spouse involved in the ministry? Okay, so you're going to hire somebody to be the new pastor at the Wheatland Baptist Church. Okay, are you hiring his wife also?
I think the answer is supposed to be no on that.
I didn't ask you what the answer was supposed to be. What is the answer? Go ahead. Well, what is Wheatland Baptist Church going to do? I'm going to warn this guy ahead of time. Go ahead, John.
That has some, when you say not hiring her, you're hiring me, it depends on what you mean by that. I mean, you're not hiring her to fulfill his ministry, of course. She's not going to preach.
Right. If who has some kind of problem?
The wife has.
Okay.
I want to get back to before. The question was, what was the question?
Very strong, strong. That one?
Marriage.
Marriage, yeah.
I think a good question is, was at the Lord's will, you got married. And if they got married before they're saved, then that's not a good, I mean, it's an irrelevant question. But if they were saved, was it the Lord's will you get married, or did you just say, well, she's beautiful like Samson?
Okay.
Their answer may not satisfy the question, but I still think it's a good question.
Okay. So let's go on to the other, let's go back to the other question. If you're married, to what extent is your spouse involved in your ministry? What would your expectation be? Go ahead, Roberta. There's a woman speaking from experience. Yeah, I agree. Did you have your hand up, honey, or would you? Oh, Crystal. Go ahead, Crystal. She needs to understand what confidentiality is. Okay, good point. The other thing, obviously, that you want is her to be supportive, helping, and as Roberta said, it depends on a lot on what's going on at home. I mean, if you have, you know, a bunch of kids that you're keeping an eye on, and you know, you have responsibilities for all that, you don't have as much time to do church kind of things. And sometimes, you know, ladies work outside of home too, which also would be a thing. Would that be an issue if the wife came and she has a job other than, you know, she does something for some extra income? Go ahead, Jim. Well, I think you want to ask both the parents, and whenever you do references, you would ask, you know, how does he relate to his kids? You know, how do his kids relate to you? I think that's an incredible picture of, you know, what goes on with the husband and wife. You know, how their kids respond. I think that's true. The other thing that we're going to do is to do a background check, both for the child abuse stuff and also for financially, that they're not, you know, that they know how to handle their finances. You know, not that you know, if somebody owes money on a car or a house or something like that, is going to disqualify them. But you know, to be thousands of dollars in debt to a credit card, gives you a whole different picture of things. So, but that's a good thought. Yes, sir.
Do we make an effort to talk to former church
Well, I think you have to ask him about who you, you know, he's going to definitely give you references to talk to. And so you would call up those references. But, you know, just like, what was the one that we said before? If he was asked to resign from the church, you know, who can we talk to in the church that would give us their point of view? I mean, you certainly wouldn't say, you know, who is your worst antagonist at the church? We would like to talk to them, because you're going to, you know, but, you know, you ask him, who can you talk to there? You know, you need to be gracious in all of those, you know, all of those kinds of things. So does that answer your question? Somebody have their hand up over here?
I was just going to say, when you hire a pastor, you get two for the price of one. Because you aren't hiring his wife, but obviously she's a vital part of the ministry. Roberta's been indispensable in our ministry and for me. There's no way I could have done it without her.
Yep.
And she has, you know, she's just always been there. And I've had to talk her out of quitting a lot. I mean, she don't walk out on me if I don't resign.
Yeah.
A lot of wonderful times.
Yeah.
Overall.
Yep.
I guess one thing is that when you check the references and people that especially they've recommended or you know haven't, when they put up a few red flags, you need to listen carefully.
Well, and well, and the other thing is that with references, how many of you have ever given somebody a reference about yourself? Did you ever give them one of your enemy's names to call up and say, you know, they're gonna give you the real scoop? No, you're gonna give somebody that's, you know, gonna say, you know, that likes you, that you know. But you know, we want honesty too, and you know, hopefully they'll understand that. Okay, good discussion. Let's go on to the next question. What emphasis, we're asking this guy, what emphasis should be placed on church membership? What questions would you have for somebody who is seeking membership to the church? So let's do the first part first. What emphasis should be placed on church membership? Pardon? Well, and not only making the proper decisions, but making the changes that we need to make, as we talked about before, that everybody's a little bit different, and so you know, response to them or with them is going to be a little bit different. Okay, who else? What emphasis should be placed on church membership? Anyone else want to?
I have a question.
Yes, sir. I would say both.
Okay.
What you're asking him? What what emphasis would you put on the folks who are already here that are not members to become members, or having people, you know, new people come and ultimately become members? So I would say both.
Okay. Well, we are to evangelize, so therefore we should be,
okay,
by all means, trying to bring people into the church and get them saved. And
what is your thought on why you are asking that?
Why are we asking that that question? The reason we're asking that that question is that church membership is viewed by different people in different ways. Okay, there's a church in I know a fellow who pastors this church in Connecticut, not too far from where we were, and anybody who has come there for a period of time, they are, quote, members. Okay. Well, after you have come for, and I don't know what the time frame is, but you are a member with, you know, you can vote, you can hold office, you can do all of those kind of things. Whereas here, and also the church that we pastored, you had to be a member to vote, you had to be a member to hold office. And the reason behind that, at least my way of thinking, the reason behind that is mostly for doctrinal purity. Whenever you become a member, you are saying, I agree with what the Constitution of the Church says, and if I am teaching, preaching, or representing the Church in any way, it'll be with this doctrine that we're going to use. Whereas over here, just coming to the church for a period of time, you're not really, you know, saying publicly in agreement with, you know, where we are. So you want to know where the person stands in regard to that, and how important church membership is to them. Does that answer your question? Okay. Yes, sir.
We were baptized at South Sheridan Baptist Church in Denver soon after we got saved. We didn't realize it. We found out we had automatically become members by virtue of being baptized. And that was their philosophy then, their belief. And it still is to this day. Now it's Red Rocks Baptist Church, Les Hines. I was talking to him about that one time. He said, well, we still do that, you know. And what was funny to me is we were baptized by Pastor Nelson, but we live 350 miles away, so you know, we're not going to be going to that church, but we were members.
Right, and at that point in time, you didn't even know what the doctrinal statement, probably didn't even know the church had a doctrinal statement, right?
We've been saved 1 month, 1.5 months, so we didn't know much of anything.
Sure. Sure, but you know, getting baptized was certainly the right thing to do. But you know, I would never, me personally, I wouldn't be part of a church, you know, be the pastor of a church that, you know, just because you got baptized, you became a member, you know. And I know that's, you know, some of the whole thing that goes along with that. Okay, I think we have time for one more. Let's make it a hard one. You ready? Regarding church polity, what are you accustomed to? I didn't say policy. I said polity.
Oh, polity.
Polity. Yeah, politics. The church government. That there are several different kinds of church government. Which kind are you familiar with? Okay. The main things, the main church governments that you would see in churches, you know, such as ours, are either an elder-led, elder-ruled congregation, or a congregational form of government. Those are the two different things. And Wheatland operates under a congregational form of government. And so to have somebody come who is going to switch over to an elder-led, elder-ruled, there are sort of two little technical differences there in those two things, may be a real difficult thing for the church. Yes, ma'am. Right, congregation. The Constitution, I believe, says it's a congregational form of government. Right, yeah. The Constitution would say that. But the reason I would ask this question is, if the person came from an elder-led, elder-ruled, he may have in the back of his mind, well, you know, 5 years, 10 years down the road, we'll have an elder-led congregation here too, because I think that's the best thing. Not me saying that, the person saying might be the best thing. So it's just one of those, you know, those things. One more question I want to ask you is, the next question we want to ask is, what's your position regarding participation in the Lord's Supper? How many of you are familiar with closed communion? You know what that, is, okay? So that is, I don't know if you know this or not, but right now that's sort of one of the big things that churches are switching to a closed communion. Closed communion means that you have to be a member of the church to participate in the Lord's Supper. Okay, so if you're not a member, then you just sit and watch. And the reasoning that people have for this, personally, I don't believe that's the right way to do, but, you know, some people do. The reasoning behind that is they say, you know, remember the passage in 1 Corinthians where it talks about inspecting yourself, you know, making sure you're right with God before you participate. They're saying that, you know, if you're not a church member, then, you know, how do we know that you're actually, you know, living the way that you're supposed to live and participating in the Lord's Supper in the right manner? And my response to that is that even if they are a church member, how do you know that your heart is right and you're doing what God wants you to do? So that's one of the things that was a real tough spot in the church that we left in Connecticut. The guy who came in, we didn't know this at the time, but he believed and he taught closed communion, and that really caused a big problem in the church whenever it came time to have communion for the first, second, or third time. I don't know when it all came up, but that really was a tough thing. So, well, thank you for sharing your thoughts on some of these things. I think I only had a couple more. Any questions you have for me that you'd like to ask? And yes, ma'am.
I don't know if this falls under marriage, but do you have anything now to ask about purity in his life?
Okay.
Can you repeat the question?
Yeah, she said, I don't know if this follows under marriage or not, but something ought to be asked about purity in his life. In his life and in his wife, both, right? Is that what you're going to say? Okay. Yeah. Anything else you want to run by me? It doesn't have to do with the calling of the pastor. Yes, sir.
You know, you define closed communion, but can I assume that open communion would be, you can take communion here if you are a believer.
Well,
we define one but not the other.
Yeah, open communion would be sort of like we would say, you know, if you are if you're not a believer in the Lord, you know, don't take communion now. Receive Christ first, and then participate in the Lord's Supper.
But you can be from a different denomination.
Different denomination, different church, yeah. Salvation would be the thing.
The problem, like when the Bible says examine yourself, and I know if we talk about introspection, I look in my heart, make sure my heart's right, or I take the cup and the bread, yet in the context, they were abusing the Lord's Supper. They were making a party out of it, a feast.
Yep.
And so sometimes I wonder if we don't take that too far and say, well, you got to make sure everything's right in your heart in the next 5 minutes, or you can't take communion, you know? And I'm thinking, it may take me longer than that.
Right. And that's why, you know, and that's why you, you know, at least we always did, had, you know, several weeks ahead of time, you knew that this Sunday was going to be the Lord's Supper. I mean, that assumes that somebody's going to read the bulletin, first of all, right? That assumes that somebody's going to remember what was in the bulletin. It assumes that they're going to remember that, you know, we're having the Lord's Supper this day. You know, a lot of assumptions that you're running on there. So anyhow, I ran over time talking about running. So let's pray and we'll be completed. Our loving Father, we are excited about what you're going to do in the future at Wheatland Baptist Church, and for the man and his wife and family that you're going to call to come here and serve. And we just pray, God, that you give us patience and perseverance as we look forward to when that's going to happen according to your will and your plan. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you very much.